Daniel chapter number 5, verse number 5. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Amen. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. While you're standing there, go ahead and flip on down, verse number 13. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? And I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Praise God. So Daniel coming on the scene here. There's a lot of good reading here. I'm just skipping through some of this. So I want you to get all the way down. So they bring Daniel, amen, in, the prophet, if you will. Amen. And they're trying to find out what this handwriting on the wall had to say. Praise God. And I want you to notice, I don't have time to preach everything that we did the other night. But anyway, you got Nabonidus, which was the father, amen, of Belshazzar here, amen, who's out fighting the enemy, the Medes and the Persians. They're trying to overtake Babylon, amen. And in the midst of all of that, Belshazzar throws a great feast with 1,000 of his lords, amen, when they should have been fasting instead of feasting, when they should have been praying, amen, instead of playing. And so now we get to see here, and so he takes it too far. Brother George, and he says, go down there and get the golden vessels, the golden cups and the silver vessels, which was down in Jerusalem, which our fathers brought up, amen, from Jerusalem, and those things that was used in worship towards God. He said, we're going to pour our alcohol, and we're going to have a big party and have a good time, amen. Yep. And he consecrated, if you will. He went too far, amen. And he really blasphemed, if you will, I believe, against God. Amen. And so God, Brother George, writes on the wall. Amen. Woo. And it troubles the king, if you will, here. He don't know what it says. He brings in his astrologers. You read down through this chapter here. He brings in those that he had confidence in. He said, tell me what these words say. But I believe they were so nervous like the king was. Amen. Countenance was out of him. I believe they were so upset. Amen. That they didn't even know what it said. So one said, there's one down there by the name of Daniel. Amen. And I know this. The truth is in him. He'll be able to tell you what the handwriting on the wall has to say. Praise God. So here we are. Amen. So they call down. They bring Daniel up. Verse number 25. And this is the writing that was written. Amen. And it says the words, this is the interpretation of the thing, meaning God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Great God. Babylon has been a great nation, but this is the end.
Yeah.
Babylon is done for. Hallelujah. I tell you what, church, and I'm not trying to bring this prophetic to the United States of America, but I'm wondering how close we are to this point right here.
Right.
I'm wondering how close to you. The United States was once a God-fearing nation. Amen. The United States was once a nation that lifted up God and believed in God and believed in the Bible and the precepts of the Bible. Amen. And now we're under a government much like Belshazzar. We'd rather feast and have parties and have a good time and don't worry about God. Amen. That's where we are tonight. So they bring Daniel in. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Praise God. Tickle. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting.
All right.
Amen. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night, I want you to notice this very night was was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain.
Yep.
And Darius, the Median, amen, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Thank you for standing. You have to pray. My voice is a little hoarse. I don't feel sick like many of you. I guess it's the change of the weather. But if the Lord had helped me, I'd like to try to probably finish my sermon that I started the other night, amen, about this handwriting on the wall. Great God.
All right.
King Nabonidus, amen, was away from this great city Babylon out fighting for his life against the Medes and the Persians. His drunken son Belshazzar had made a mockery of trying to maintain the kingdom by throwing this party, and Belshazzar felt quite safe from the enemy. I want you to look at this, amen. The Medo-Persian army had besieged Babylon. One historian I told you said that this battle had been going on for at least 2, possibly 3 years, amen. The walls, the Babylonians thought, they can't get to us, our walls are too high, amen. Yeah. Great God, can you imagine 300 feet walls, 85 feet thick, they can run chariots, amen, around the tops of them walls, Brother George. They put their soldiers and their armies up on the walls, and they even had a moat around that which was fed by the, amen, Euphrates River. Praise God. Nor could a siege affect this city very much, because inside of the city of Babylon, Brother Earl, they produced nearly everything they needed. They had all their farming equipment. They had land 200 square miles, amen, that Babylon was. They had plenty of land. They grew everything they needed. They got to, amen, if you will, to settle, amen, with, I've got everything I need right here for within me. I don't need anything else, praise God. And if we don't watch out, that will be your spiritual demise, amen.
Come on, come on.
When you get to the place where you don't need somebody from outside, hallelujah. Hey, I found that a long time ago, and I've been saved. I've been a Christian since I was 13 years old. I've been in this thing nearly all my life, Brother George. And one thing I've always found out, Sister Mary, I tell you, I need God, amen. Glory to God. I can't wake up in the morning without Him.
Hey, come on.
I can't go to bed at night without Him. David said, amen. Thank God my very next step could lead me into death. Amen. I need God every single day of my life. Amen. A nation is never stronger than its spiritual might. Amen. Belshazzar showed complete contempt for God by taking those captured vessels and filling them with their liquor and with their wine. Vessels once dedicated to the worship of Jehovah down in Jerusalem, amen, was now being used, amen, to fill these blasphemous mouths with raging passion, amen. And on the night of that they most needed to seek the living God, amen, oh, they turned their back in utter desecration, amen. Sitting on his raised, amen, throne before thousand of his lords, Belshazzar raised that sacred vessel to his lips. Can you imagine him having that golden cup at one time the priest had? Amen. Can you imagine it, Brother Tommy? Amen. At one time that vessel was used in the act of worship down in the temple, but now he's filled it with wine and liquor, amen, and making mockery of the name of God. Amen. I just wonder here today how many people, amen, make mockery to God himself. Suddenly the color began to drain from his face. He took it too far, Brother Tom. Amen. Let me tell you something. You might think you can make it without God. I've heard a lot of people say, amen, when I get to hell one of these days, I heard people say this. When I get to hell one day, I'm going to tell God this. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to tell God nothing. Not even on the judgment day. You'll not stand before God and tell him not one word. Oh no, you'll stand before him speechless. You'll stand before him as God of all the universe and give an account for your life. Oh, yes. Amen. That's what Belshazzar was doing here. He made mockery of God himself. Amen. And as he put that up to his lips, a hand come upon the wall, Brother George. Look over there at that wall. Amen. It was, they seen the hand, but they didn't know whose hand it was. It was just a hand that appeared and started writing upon the wall. Amen. Yeah. Great God. And when Belshazzar saw that, amen, the color drained out of his face. The strength began to drain from his knees, and his knees began to wobble. Great God. And he knew, great God, something ain't right about this. I went too far. Amen. Hey, I come to tell you tonight, amen, you can get too far away from God. Oh, yes. I don't ever want to get to the place where I lose reference for God, reverence for the things of God. Amen. Like Belshazzar did. His eyes were frozen in terror, and he began to shake like a leaf. Amen. Knowing that he went too far. Hallelujah. Amen. Holding on, no doubt, to that table that was nearby to keep himself from falling. Fear came upon him. Oh, yes. And he called for the astrologers. And he called for the smart men in his, amen, city, and said, come tell me what these words say. But great God, none of them could repeat the words. None of them knew what the handwriting upon the wall said. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. But you cannot deny, oh, no, your conscience. Conscience will never leave you. Conscience, great God, will stick with you forever, I believe. A person living in sin, attempting to run from God, lives in constant fear.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I made my mind up a long time ago, Brother George. I'm not going to run from the Lord, but I'm going to kneel in an altar and say, God, oh, Jason needs you. Glory to God. And I don't know about you, but since that trip when I was 13 years old in an altar of prayer, I've had to go back many times and say, Lord, would you help me? Oh, God, would you help me to overcome these things that's coming up against me in my life. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, what a tragic way to learn that the greatest enemies you have is not from without. I want you to look at this. Here's Nabonidus the king out fighting for the very lives, amen, of all of Babylon, trying to spare the city. They think the Medes and the Persians are their very worst enemy, but the worst enemy of Babylon was Belshazzar, sitting on the throne just inside the walls. Let me tell you something. Yes, it's a dangerous world out there. Yes, the enemy would like to tear you down. But most of the time, the number one enemy is inside the wall. Most of the time, the number one enemy that'll tear you down is that man that's inside the wall. Most of the time, the number one problem is that man that you look at in the mirror every single day of your life. Most of the time, the number one enemy is that woman that you look at every day in the mirror of your life. I come to tell us with a burden on my heart here tonight, don't ever get to the place where you think you can make it without God. Oh, no, you can't, Belshazzar. Amen. You think you've got enough within the walls of Babylon to make it for years to come.
Come on,
but this day you pound out, you ain't got enough. Amen. But matter of fact, amen, you're getting ready to give an account this very day.
Yes, Lord.
A person living in sin, attempting to run from God, lives in fear every day of their life.
Every day.
Be sure your sin will find you out. Oh, yes. Amen. You cannot dim, amen, that handwriting upon the wall. He knows it's only a matter of time that his sin, amen, has finally found him out. Oh, yes, Belshazzar knew it when he saw it on the wall. Great God, sin is a killing process, and that process drags on and on, accompanied by a thousand fears, amen, and unknown terror. Belshazzar's knees knocked against each other, amen. He knew it was the end of Babylon, amen. The past had caught up to him. He had a divine appointment with God, and he knew he was not ready for it. Let me tell you something. I want to let you know, everybody in this house tonight, you got a divine appointment. I've got an appointment. I'm going to stand, Brother George, for the Earl, and give an account for my life one day. You're going to stand and give an account for your life one day. And when you stand there, I tell you what, you want to stand there with a clear conscience. You want to stand there with a pure heart. You want to stand there with a sinless heart, saying, I know that I've nailed in an altar of prayer, and I'm trusting the Lord. Great God, that he took care of my sin. Belshazzar, he was unprepared to meet God. Amen. God said, I've weighed you in the balance.
That's it.
Look at this. Great God. Amen. Tonight, this very night, the kingdom's come to an end, and I've got a balance. Amen, Belshazzar. And you think you've got enough, but you don't have enough. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Good God. I've used this before, but I read somewhere, Brother George, in Washington, D.C. Amen. Up there where they deal, where they used to weigh gold. And it was very important to know the exact weight. They claim they got a scale. Amen. That you can lay this piece of paper on a scale. Amen. And they got a balance there. And you can lay this paper on that scale, and it'll give you the weight of that paper right there. Glory to God. And then you can go get you a pencil, a lead pencil, and make one small mark on that pencil and reweigh that paper, and it can tell you how much that piece of lead weighed that you marked on that. That's pretty close, ain't it?
Yeah.
And if the United States has a scale that can, amen, see how much a mark of a pencil weighs, I wonder how good God's scale is. Belshazzar, you've been weighed, and you're wanting. You ain't got enough. I know this church world today don't preach like this, but I want to have enough when I stand before God. I want to have enough when I stand on judgment day to know that I'm ready to meet God.
Yes, God. Brother George, I took care of, well, I didn't take care of, I cut the yard for a rather wealthy man in town for years. But I found out, Brother Tommy, I don't care if you're rich or poor, when it comes your time to die, everybody's the same.
Everybody's the same.
He got sick, Brother George.
That's right.
And his wife, she paid me extra money. And you know, it's kind of silly, that's the way rich people are, but I didn't want that extra money. I go mow the yard. She said, Jason, can you come in? He was in the bed. He was bedfast, but he was just still had plenty enough mind. So stubborn, he liked to get up in the chair because he still had to put it. He liked to read. He wrote books. He wrote the book, John Marshall. That's what got him in here. He's a professor at Marshall. He wrote the book, John Marshall. He wrote the book, FDR. Amen. He wrote several best-selling books. I guess the guy's probably worth multi-millions, Brother George. But anyway, I'd go in there, and I'd pick him up, and I'd get him out of that bed. And I'd put him in his wheelchair. Amen. Oh, yes. Great God. He'd sit there for 4 or 5 hours. Oh, and then on days when I worked down around the park, and Miss Smith would say, hey, Jason, give me a few hours, and I'll call you. Don't get too far away. And you come back and help me get him back in bed. So we'd go mow 4 or 5 hours, and I'd have to leave them boys and run back and go get him in the bed. Oh, God. Amen. I talked to him about the Lord, Brother George. Amen. And I mentioned the Lord to him multiple times, but I regret it so much that I didn't really zero in on him and say, tell me, Mr. Gene Edward Smith, are you ready to meet God? I wish I'd have done it. I'd give $1,000, Brother Tom, if I could get the chance back. Glory to God.
Amen. I was going in there and I was just easing up on it. He was the kind of guy, I talked to him about the Lord, and he'd shoot you down, you know.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy, amen. But I seen him as he debilitated and he got worse and worse. Here's the way I thought in my mind, the worse he gets, the more he'll think about God. And in my mind, I thought, and when he gets a little worse, and then I'm going to zero in on him, amen. But guess what? Jason waited too long. My thinking wasn't God's thinking. Hey man, she called me one day. I was down there. I called her one. I said, Christine, I'm close. You want me to come get him out of the bed? Oh, Jason, you never believe, but last night, amen, things took a turn for the worse, and Gene died. Amen. He's gone. I tell you, my heart sunk. Great God. And I thought, oh, God, I thought I could win him to the Lord. I thought I could zero in on him, but I waited too late. I waited too long. Hey, I come to tell you tonight, don't wait too late.
No,
come on. Wait too long. There's a judgment day, and we're all going to stand in one day, and you don't want to wait too long to ask the Lord to get it right in your heart. Amen.
Praise God.
I got to keep this very broad. I wouldn't want to hurt nobody. As far as I know, I'm going to go to tomorrow. Someone I've mowed for years. He and his sister. And I'll never forget the Sunday when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, go talk to him. It's time to talk to him about his soul. I spent 10 years, Brother Roy, sitting on that porch drinking him. You couldn't catch him at the first of the month. Man, he was drunk for a solid week until he ran out of money. Amen. But I remember one Sunday, I'd been praying for him. I'd been witnessing to him. I'd been talking to him about the Lord.
Come on.
One Sunday, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you go tell him. You unload. You give him everything. And I unloaded to him, Brother George. And I got down there in his face. He's about half drunk that day. And I got real square with him. And I said, let me tell you, son, one of these days, you're going to stand before God.
Yeah.
One of these days,
one of these days,
you're going to give an account for your life down here. Amen. He took me serious. He didn't just laugh me off. But here's the devil's famous tactic that I preached to you the other night, just like he told Eve. Amen. When the devil met Eve, Adam and Eve there in the garden, and he told Eve, you'll be all right. The devil said, won't you take of that forbidden fruit? You'll be okay. That's what he tells everybody. You've got plenty of time. It ain't going to kill you. You'll be all right. That's what he told this fellow that I'm over for. You'll be okay. Yeah, you got a drinking problem. Yeah, your lungs are bad. You smoke like a freight train. Amen. COPD. Your lungs, you're all right. You got plenty of time. That's what he tells everybody. But great God, just a couple of nights ago, he went out into eternity. And I'll be standing in a funeral home tomorrow of a man that I had clutched in my grips. And I zeroed in on him like Paul did Nero. And I said, this day, amen, you got to realize that your soul is important. And you're going to stand before God. Hey, I come to tell us here tonight, it's a serious matter. You don't ever want to turn the Lord away. You don't ever want to say, I put it off till another time. Belshazzar, today's the last of it. Belshazzar, you'll not have another day. Belshazzar, amen, the Medes and the Persians are taking over today. Oh God. Yes, Lord. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
Jesus. He just died a couple of days ago, Brother George, but the last year or so, I don't know exactly how long, but last year or so I know of, he's laying in the bed up there in a nursing home. Massive stroke hit him some time back. They laid there on a vegetable. Had to feed him in a tube. Amen. Can you pray like that? I don't know. You got mind enough to pray after you've had a massive stroke? I don't know. You got mind enough to pray when you hit somebody head on in a car collision? I don't know. Amen. Great God. I tell you what, I believe
I believe in grace until the last breath. Yeah, I do. I believe God can save all the way up to the end. Yes, I do. But here's the thing, I wonder, do they have mind enough to pray when they're laying there with a massive stroke? Do they have mind enough to pray when they're laying there with a heart attack? Hey God, do they have mind enough to pray when the body's racked with fever? Oh God, help us, Lord, here today. I'm just about done preaching to us. Belshazzar's knees begin to knock. Amen. Call for Daniel, that man of God, and bring him up that he might tell us what the writing on the wall says. Amen. People say it all the time, you hear it all the time. I don't need to go to church. Amen. The tragedy always happens to that one. Amen. And I'm saying this very, very, very respectfully and reverently also. But I've come across people in my 12 short years of pastoring the church. Amen. They get to the place where they don't need God no more. You ever seen people like that?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I don't need God no more. And then you don't see them come to church no more. And they stay home. And you don't see them until, guess what? Kid gets sick.
Yep.
Husband gets sick. Wife gets sick. They lose a job. Something drastic happens and gets their attention. Then all of a sudden they need the preacher again.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden they need the church to help them pray. Yep. And I'm not being mean. Amen. That's what the church is there for. That's what the preacher's there for. Amen. I've done my best, Brother Tommy. Amen. Not to get upset and get aggravated. Amen. When things like that happen. It's not that they're trying to take advantage of a preacher or a church. It's just that they're listening to the devil. Amen.
Right.
You're right, bro.
Come on.
Oh, God.
Bless you.
I'm done.
Have your way.
I've used this before through the years, and
come on, buddy.
I was just down there getting my truck fixed up a week or two ago, and Brother Austin, he's got a podcast. Him and Zach, he wanted to get me on that podcast and give my testimony, and started back. He wanted the first half on one episode, and the church, how the Lord gave us the church on the second episode, two 30-minute episodes. But anyway. And he wanted me to tell that story when I was young, and I was in school, and I witnessed to a young man named Seth that I went to school with, Brother Tom. I'll just use his first name. Seth was his name. And anyway, I witnessed to him about the Lord. God gave me a dream, a vision. Kind of like Brother Tommy said this morning, sometimes when it happens like that, and you, some people say, well, you should know if it's a dream or a vision. Sometimes you don't know.
That's the truth.
When you're off in the spirit. Amen. And whether it's a dream or a vision, Brother George, I'm not completely... Sure, I think it's more so like a dream. But in that, I seen Seth in a bad car accident. And it looked like in that dream I could see a hill, you know. I witnessed to him. I talked to him. I said, Seth, son, you're young. It's time. And we was all in high school. I think I was either in 10th or 11th, and he was a senior, somewhere around there. I think he was one grade ahead of me. So, but to make a long story short, Brother Tom, I witnessed to him. And I still remember standing there in that hallway at the school. I could see those lockers in the background. I can still see it today. And I witnessed to him. I said, Seth, I knew, because you know I grew up with him. I knew he was starting to drink in high school. I knew he was starting to dip-dab with drugs in high school. And I said, hey, man, you better settle down. You better calm down. You better give your life to Jesus. God wants to save you. God's got a plan for your life. God wants you to settle down. Amen. Give yourself to him. Don't go the way of the world. Amen.
Right.
And he kind of laughed it off and said, Jason, I'm young. It's time to party. It's time to live. It's time to have a good life.
Oh, God.
Amen. Live it up. Well, space of time that went by, I graduated high school, moved to Marshall. I can tell you right where I was, right there on Piedmont Road, about 4 or 5 blocks down, maybe 10 from where I live now, down this way. And I was in the front yard mowing the yard, and I felt my phone ring or vibrating one. And it's my sister from Gilbert, and I thought, well, Jessica never calls me. I better answer this. And so I answered. Jessica said, Jason, did you hear about what happened last night? And I said, no, what happened? She said, it's about Seth. I said, no. She began to tell me. She said, last night, Seth and his girlfriend, which I didn't know, and Rustin, which is another boy we grew up with, was all in a car, and they was over around Yeager, West Virginia. They was pretty good ways away from Gilbert there, where we all grew up. They was over around Yeager and said, they is drinking and mixing drugs, and they is driving at a high rate of speed, and they went over the hill. Car hit a tree down over that hillside. Amen. Said, as far as I know, Seth died instantly. As far as I know, his girlfriend died instantly. Rustin walked out with hardly scratches on him. It's kind of odd how stuff like that happens. Amen. So to make a long story short, Brother George, day or two went by, I got my truck, and I drove to Gilbert. And I went to that funeral. Amen. I'll never forget, walked in there, it was one of the first times I'd ever seen it like this, where he was, they had an open casket, but where he was busted up so bad, they had a net. Sort of, you could see him, but it was his image was marked from this net that they had across the casket. And he's swollen from that damage. His mom wanted an open casket. I think they later told me that they didn't recommend that, but his mom wanted that. And so they had that casket open, and I sit there through that funeral, and I'm not nobody's judge. Jason ain't nobody's judge, Tommy. But I sat there through that funeral as that preacher preached him into the pearly gates of heaven, and he died instantly with drugs and alcohol in his system.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Brother, I'll never forget at the end of that sermon, you know how they call you row by row, come up, and it got my turn, and I stepped up there, and here I was looking at it, kind of remembering some of our old childhood memories. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "Do you remember that day standing in that hallway?" And immediately, my attention, my mind went back, and I seen the lockers. I seen him standing in that hallway. Oh, and I said, "Yes, Lord, I remember." I kind of forgotten about it. I mean, I remember witnessing to him, but you know, you put those things out of your mind, you move on in life. And the Lord brought it back to my memory and said, "What did he say?" And I said, "He said he's young and it's time to party." And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, "The party's over. The party's over."
My Lord.
Oh, God.
My Lord.
Oh, God. Shoot. Belshazzar, the Spirit of God wrote on the wall, "The party's over." Amen. It's over. Great God.
Hallelujah.
Hey, I come to preach this tonight with a burden on my heart. Don't put it off. Amen. Great God. Don't let the spirit of Belshazzar rise up in your heart. The tragedy, amen, hits that family. Great God. Maybe a child gets arrested. Amen. Maybe a child gets sick. Maybe you lose that job. God will get a hold of your attention somehow, some way.
Yes.
Stand with me in this house tonight. Glory to God. Daniel was summoned into the banquet room of the palace. The 90-year-old prophet stood there fearless. And he told the old drunken Belshazzar, "This night thy soul is going to be required of you." Oh, God. Daniel drove home the truth to Belshazzar. Amen. "You didn't accept the truth, O king. You sinned against God. You sinned against the Lord. You filled the palace with blasphemy, with wickedness. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth death." Hey, I come to tell you today, are you ready to meet the Lord?
Oh, my. Oh, God.
If we could see as God does, we would behold a great scale. One on one side and one on the other.
Look at that scale, Sister Mary.
What's the handwriting on the wall say? The handwriting says, "You've been put in a balance and weighed."
You ever seen them scales?
Yep.
Amen. Belshazzar, you've come up short. You're not ready.
Jesus.
Amen. There's only one way to balance the scale, Brother Earl.
Come on.
And that's a mediator between God and man.
Jesus.
Which is who?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Amen. We're able to be judged on the righteousness of Christ. There's nothing good in me. All my righteousness is as filthy rags. But when Jesus is on the balance, he looks at me as though I've never sinned. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Woo! How does this salvation thing work? Amen. I'll never be good enough to get to heaven. No, you're not. But when you ask Jesus to forgive you your sin, amen, and he takes a boat and lives in your heart, Brother John. Amen. Then he's on the scale with you, great God. Woo! Amen. Amen. And the Bible said he was made sin, great God, for my sin. He who knew no sin, amen, suffered my sin so that I could live, great God. That's how it all works. Jesus Christ, amen.
That's Lord.
Woo! Aren't you glad you trusted him, Brother John? Aren't you glad you trusted him, Sister Marilyn? Aren't you glad, Brother Jonathan, you trusted him? Amen. Great God, Sister Jo. Aren't you glad you trusted Jesus Christ? Amen. And glory to God. I'm glad we're all gathered in this place right here. This is a very serious question we all must ask ourselves. Amen. If it should come my time tonight. I think about this all the time, and I'm a preacher of the gospel. But Tommy, I think about this frequently. I get in an altar of prayer and I say, oh God, I want to be ready to meet you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I don't want to get out in public and lose my temper and fly off and get mad and be unprepared to meet God. They tell the stories of Jenny Raymond getting into it. She got mad one night before church. Flung a hairbrush or a shoe one at
him. A shoe.
A shoe. Got mad at her husband. Flung a shoe at him. Spirit of God spoke and said, if I'd have come back, you wouldn't have been ready at that moment because you had too much anger in your heart.
Woo! Oh, God.
I want to stay right with the Lord, don't you?
Yes, Lord.
I want to keep a right spirit. Amen. I want to keep a right heart. I want to keep sin away. Glory to God. And I want to be ready to meet God. So, amen. Right here tonight as we bow, I want to ask to send these altars. Bow your head with me just a moment, Lord. I thank you, God, for gathering us in this place right here tonight. This is a very important place, amen. This is the place, God, I believe that you wanted us all to be right here, right now. Here we are. God, your word has come forth. The Holy Ghost is in this house. The Spirit of God is moving. We've been warned. The acts of Belshazzar weighed in the balances. We found wanting. We'll ask this crowd tonight as they stand, as they sit here, ask them to search their hearts. Am I ready to meet God? My time should come tonight. If I should have a car wreck, if I should have a stroke, heart attack, something that would bring me face to face with you quicker than I think, Lord. Am I ready to meet you? Are you? That's what I'm asking you tonight. Are you ready to meet God? Amen. Who'd be wanting to step out here tonight? Kneel in this altar and say, oh God, I want to be ready. Come on, church. Let's get in these altars and say, oh God, I want to be ready to meet you, Lord. I've got to be ready. I can't play around with the most important thing on this land. It's not my car, it's not my truck, it's not my house. But the most important thing in this world is my soul. It's going to live forever. That's the most important thing in this world. To my soul,
hallelujah. There's somebody out there hurting, confused, an innocent child being abused. There's somebody out there whose heart is breaking in two. Somebody out there feeling alone, a husband and wife being done wrong. There's somebody out there tearing from a broken home. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
There's somebody out there who can't quite decide whether to live or whether to die. Now they're searching for strength to make it through their crosses in life. you, Lord.